Isn't that beautiful? That was Lisa Ketterer. Lisa is actually used to be with us. She taught at our Hearts in Motion. She was with the Ballet Magnificat for about 5 years, touring with them, and now she's in Nashville teaching ballet, and she's home for the holidays. And so would you say again, thank you to Lisa, a beautiful, beautiful girl. Would you take out your notes as we come to our finale in this season of gifts? And I wanted to ask you a question. And the question is this. What would you rather have, a pile of gold or a pile of salt? Well, it's pretty obvious. Most of us would go for the pile of gold. But you know that many throughout history would rather take the pile of salt. The reason is, gold is pretty, but you can't live without salt. And in the old days, they would actually take salt, because there was a time when salt was even scarcer than gold. And salt was actually used as currency. In fact, the very word salary, where we get our pay, you know, from the companies or employers, that word salary in Latin is related to the word salt, because that was what they used for currency. But today, salt is almost worthless. And if given the choice, you and I would go for the gold every time. Why? Because there's a lot less of gold to go around than there is salt, and salt is everywhere. You see, value has a lot to do with scarcity. If something is very scarce, it's more valuable. When it ceases to be scarce, it loses its value. If you show me what's scarce, I will tell you what is valuable. For example, what's scarce? Land in Hawaii. You've got just so much land on an island, and more people that move in, land becomes very scarce, and what happens to the prices? They go to the moon. Another that seems to be scarce, whether it's true or not, is drinkable water. And that's why in the last year, 100 companies are now labeling water and putting it in a bottle. And though water is free, you can walk down Ala Moana or any place and there's free drinking fountains. You can just have free. Go to any restaurant, just say, can I have some water? Free. Yet we will spend billions with a B on bottled water, because we think drinkable water is scarce. And people make money off of what we think is scarce. Now, we can take certain things like water and bottle it and sell it for billions of dollars, and unwary people like us buy it. Or there's some things that you cannot bottle, but yet are very scarce and very valuable, like respect, honesty in leadership, long-term commitments that lead to trust. And in our day of age, one of the most scarce of all, listening. Oh, listening is something very seldom done. Hardly any of us take classes in listening. In fact, it just doesn't happen. And God says that listening is a commendable thing, and He talks about it often in the Bible. And we'll talk about it today. In fact, when we find someone who's a good listener, I mean, they're like a hero. They said that the American Indians used to be really, really good listeners. They could hear things for miles. And story is told of two cowboys talking about how amazing these Indians were when around the corner they come upon one whose ears to the ground, right in the middle of the road. And they said, "What? Look, here's one. He's probably listening to something." And as they got closer, you could hear the Indian saying, "Two wagon trains, 8 horses, cow being pulled behind one of them, full of pioneers going west." And the cowboy said, "Wow, you can hear all of that from listening to the ground?" "No," the Indian said, "they run over me 1 hour ago." Listening is something commendable, and God speaks about invisible ears that we need to develop. Oh, we have ears on the side of our craniums. That's not the one He's talking about. Let's read together at the top of our notes, Matthew 13. Go. "Blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears because they hear. You see, God is saying that there's sometimes it's possible to have ears that don't hear. Possible to have eyes that don't see. But he's not talking about physical ears and physical eyes. He's talking about something else, the eyes of our heart. And there are some of us who have been Christians for a long time where we don't hear anymore. Our ears have become dull. And God is saying it's time to wake those back up. You see, even the Pharisees, I believe, at first really wanted to hear God. But it became so commonplace that they forgot how to hear. In this book I bought recently, it's a New York bestseller. It's called Gems Along the Way. It's an outstanding book. It tells of a pastor that's writing to his daughter, and he talks about listening to God. It says, "Dear Amy," same as my daughter's name, "Dear Amy, we recently moved into our little house in Hilo. It's a peaceful neighborhood, except for a frustrated dog who lives next door, and he loves to hear his own barks. He starts this annoying tirade about 9 p.m. sharp, and then he ends at 5 a.m. So about the time I get up from a sleepless night, he curls up and goes to sleep. At first, I was so irritated, I began to think of ways to quietly and effectively put that creature out of its misery. But after hurling a few rocks and angry words at him, I got the frustration out of my system, and then I gave the situation over to the Lord. I guess time slowly slipped by, and I began to get used to this mad dog next door. Then after a few months, I didn't even hear the dog anymore. It had become commonplace. He'd bark, and I wouldn't even notice. I guess I got numb to it. It's amazing what a little time will do. However, on the other hand, Abby is just a year old. And she still cries at night. And even though she's been making noises at night since she was born, you know, it's never become commonplace to your mom. She wakes up out of a deep sleep at Abby's first cry in the middle of the night. She can pick out the sound of Abby's voice in a nursery full of screaming babies. Your mother has never allowed Abby's or your voice, your cries, to ever become commonplace. And they move her to action every time. You know, I wonder if sometimes we make God's voice more like a dog's bark rather than a baby's cry. If I fight against his voice hard enough, I'll dull my ears to it, and he becomes commonplace. On the other hand, if I love his voice and respond to it, it will always be clear. His voice will always be distinct. I will hear his voice in the night. I will hear him in the crowd of people. I will hear him in the middle of the world. I'll be able to hear him at 2 a.m. So when God speaks, don't throw stones. Don't allow his voice to become commonplace. If you do, he'll keep talking, but you won't be able to hear him anymore. Keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening. And you see, sometimes we as God's people can make God's voice commonplace and we don't hear him anymore and we lose the ability to hear. Becomes a problem for us. It did with the Israelites. But you say, well, how do I keep my ears clear and distinct so I can hear his voice? Well, the first is, would you write in your first bullet there, you got to ask God for help. But, I'm way ahead. Listening is a gift that needs to be developed. How's that? No good? Okay, try this one. Listening is developed. How's that? Yeah, there you go. All right, try that one. Listening is developed. It doesn't come just as standard equipment. It's got to be developed. Because we don't always go to classes that teach us how to listen correctly. It's got to be developed. And it can get dulled if we don't keep it clean and distinct. In fact, the Bible in Luke 8 tells us about not only just having ears, but ears that hear. And he calls it, take care how you listen. Let's read the scripture. Go. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Would you circle the words, take care how you listen? Take care how you listen. And what he's saying is, much of the abundance of your life, the fruit of success, your innovation, your ability to work with people will be determined by how you listen. God gave us two ears and only one mouth to remind us we should listen twice as much as we speak. And you know, it's how we listen, because often we listen selectively, don't we? We hear things selectively. In fact, if I'm insecure, or if I'm a bit skeptical, or I am in sort of got a defensive motive about me, I'm going to hear things that are offensive that were never intended to be so. I will hear incorrectly. That's why God says, take care how you listen, because if you've got wrong stuff inside, you're going to hear wrong stuff from the outside. Take care how you listen. It was an example to me just a little while ago, about a week or two ago, I was at the movies and someone that I hadn't seen for over a year and a half, I saw. And he said, hey, Wayne. And I was just kind of being funny. I said, and let's just call him Joe. I said, hey, Joe, are you behaving yourself? And he looked at me and said, what kind of reply is that? I just come and say hi to you and you already start criticizing me. I said, whoa, did you hear that? I'm so sorry. Reminds me of a porgy in a mental institution that he had his ear to the wall like this. He was listening, all morning, 3 hours. And a medical assistant comes by and says, Mano, what you doing? Shh, listen. The medical assistant says, what? Shh, listen. So the medical assistant puts his ear to the wall too. He's looking at Mano's face like this. 5 minutes later, he said, Mano, I can't hear a thing. Mano said, I know, that's the problem. It's been like that all morning. So if you got nothing inside, you're not going to hear nothing on the outside. But if you got problems on the inside, you're going to hear incorrectly. And God says, take care how you listen, because it's going to affect everything about your life. We can have ears and not hear correctly. Or the things that should be obvious to us aren't. Because a lot of times, things will come to us not in the way that you want to hear them. They'll be couched. They'll be silent. But we have to be able to hear the message coming through. I learned that when I, being a young dad, Aaron was only 4 years old. And there was some money on the counter that was missing. And I later found it in Aaron's room. And so I brought him in and scolded him and said, you don't take stuff that doesn't belong to you. What's the matter with you? And big crocodile tears are rolling down his face. Only a little kid, 4 years old. And I said, what's the matter with you? You should be sorry for this. And he never says sorry. He's just, you know, crying. So I said, you stay in this room until you say sorry. So I walked out of the room and Anna said, how's it going? I said, not good. He didn't even say he's sorry. I sat down in the living room. I thought, man, what's the matter with that kid? Well, just a few minutes later, I hear this cheery voice behind me. Hi, Dad. I turn, it's Aaron. And he said, hey, Dad, would you like to play Pac-Man? I said, Pac-Man, I'm so mad at you. Back to your room. Bad boy. Well, he just went back into his room. And the Lord said, you weren't listening, were you? I thought, wait a minute. He didn't even say, I'm sorry. The Lord said, no. That's what he was trying to do in his own little way. He was saying, Dad, I don't want our relationship broken. And when he said, hi, Dad, let's play Pac-Man, he was saying, I'm sorry. Can we repair our relationship? And you weren't listening. I thought, oh, God. And I felt so convicted. Lord, teach me how to listen. I got to take care on how I listen. Otherwise, I'll miss so much in life. So I walked into his room and I said, Aaron, let's play Pac-Man. You see, we've got to develop ears that hear. Well, how do you do that? Well, would you write, number one, you got to ask God for help. Ask God for his help. In other words, you start learning to listen by going Godward. listening to God. Because, you see, God is going to teach us how to listen. Listen to Him. And then you'll be able to sense the hurts and hear what's going on through people and with people. But before all of that, we pause. And I'm going to rewind the tape and just talk about the vertical listening. And God is saying this. If you can learn to listen to me, then I can teach you about life. But if you can't listen to God, if you can't listen to me, we're in trouble. Because I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to advise you. I'm going to walk with you. But if you can't listen to God, if you can't hear me, we're done. Because then I can't teach you. So the first is we've got to ask God for help and start Godward by listening or learning to listen to God. And He says that often throughout the Bible. Let's read the first scripture, Psalm 119. Go. Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your law. The law of God or the Bible. He's saying one of the best prayers to pray is when you open the Bible is to pray that, Lord, open my eyes. I need your help so that I can hear what you're saying and see what you're saying. Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your law. Paul the Apostle prays that in the book of Ephesians. Let's read this. Go. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Yeah, he's saying, ask God for help. And Jesus himself says in Mark 4, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. God speaks often about the ears of our heart. Because our tendency is to not listen well. We're so wrapped up in me, moi, and mine. And even when I'm praying, I'm really talking about myself. And I'm using God for self. And the Lord is saying, you know, we're just wrapped up in ourselves. It's like the prima donna actress that did a lot of these plays on Broadway. She just couldn't stop talking about herself all the time. And she was with her friend. And for a half hour, she was just talking about herself for one whole half hour. And then she said, oh, enough about me. It's your turn. Tell me, what did you think about my performance last night? And we do it so much, we don't even think. And God is saying, I want to teach you how to listen because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10:13. Faith comes by listening. And that's why we put in every one of your bulletins one of these Bible bookmarks. As we come out of the blocks this new year, instead of coming out helter-skelter, because you'll be distracted by so many things, I want us to learn how to listen first. Because when you and I learn to listen, it doesn't take time. It'll save you days, weeks, months of barking up the wrong tree, going after the wrong roads, going down wrong rabbit holes. Because as we hear God, He'll give us instruction about the way we think, what we've been saying, our priorities, things we need to prune. It'll save you years of life if we will learn first to listen. And that's what this is for. It is something that'll help us to just stay still and listen to God. Because as you're reading the Bible, this is called God's Word. So if this is God's Word, who is speaking? God. So when I'm reading, God is speaking to me. And as I take a look at this Bible bookmark, it is teaching me to stay still and listen while God is speaking. You see, for a lot of years, I thought praying was just rapping at God as fast as you can. I'd hear some people pray. Man, they just go off. And I thought, wow, they must be super holy. They can pray like crazy. I remember when I was first a Christian, I went to this Pentecostal church, and it was a real strong, although we are, this was hyper. And we'd go to this prayer meeting, and they'd go for an hour. And I'd enter this room, and it was just loud, people just screaming at the top of their lungs. And if you were to be a good prayer warrior, you'd have to pray constantly without stopping for 1 hour without taking a breath. And you'd have to just go. And I thought, man, I got to breathe, so I lose. I thought, but that's how praying is. I thought maybe that's what God is impressed with, how fast, how good, how strong we can pray. We don't talk like that. It reminded me of a radio advertisement. You know how they'll give a commercial for 30 seconds, but 27 seconds is the commercial. And then they got to put in like three in the last 3 seconds, they've got to cram 5 minutes of disclaimer and small print. So they'll just kind of zip in the last 3 seconds. And it's just funny as can be. So they'll say something like this, you know, so come to Long's and get soda for your family. Special bargain price of $9.95, good for only 30 minutes. Colors may run, taxes and restrictions apply. Good only while supplies last, may cause drowsiness, diarrhea, and constipation depending on your age.
What was that? I heard something.
And sometimes we just go off like that on God, and it's like God's in heaven going, whoa, what was that? I heard something, man. But we pray like crazy, and the Lord is saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, the main thing is listening. Learning to listen, and the bookmark will help us to stay still and listen. That's why Ecclesiastes 5:1, and it's not in your notes, but you can write that verse down. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says this, when you come to God, draw near to listen rather than to talk, because that would be foolish. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Well, you say, well, when you read the Bible, well, what do you look for? Would you write in your bullet, look to get to know Jesus. Look to get to know Jesus. That's what this whole Bible is about. You see, if it were just about Christian stuff, it would have been categorized alphabetically. A for stuff under A, B, bad people, you know, whatever, C for Christian, D for this, etc. No, but it's not listed that way. As you read the Bible, you get to know more and more the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. In fact, let's read the scripture, John 5:39. Go. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is these that testify about me. Get to know, look through the Bible and just say, Lord, I need to know your heart more and more. Let's read John 16 and see the misuse of this. Go. An hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do. Why? Because they have not known the Father or me. He says, there's going to be a time where people kill you and think they're doing God a favor. You know what we call that? Jihad. Yeah, they really, they're religious, and we think that we kill people and we're doing God a favor. And the Lord's saying, no, you know why that misuse is happening, the mistakes are taking place? Not because they haven't read Scripture, it's because they don't know my heart. They don't know me. You know, the more you get to know someone, then if you hear something that doesn't sound right, because of the context of their heart, you're able to interpret them correctly. If you don't know somebody, it's so easy to go off and wars take place and you misinterpret, miscommunicate. And the Lord is saying, no, if you know my heart and you'll read a scripture that's a little tough to understand, you don't go off on some weird conclusion because you know my heart. And you say, no, I know God's heart. And that may seem like it says that, but I know it doesn't because I know his heart. Oh, yes, it does. Someone would say, no, you don't know my Father. That's why he's saying, when you read the Bible, just get to know his heart. If you know somebody's heart, everything is interpreted correctly. For example, I know Dan Shima has been a dear friend of mine for many years, and I know his heart, and he's a good, good man. And about a month ago, 2 months ago, someone said, hey, Dan Shima said one thing and he did another. You know, that's hypocrisy. That's deceptive for him to do that. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know his heart. He's one of the most integrous men I know. You can't say that. If you don't know him, you're going to misinterpret certain things. You got to get to know him. And the same is true with the Bible. If you don't know the heart of God, you misinterpret. That's why it's so important as you're reading the Bible, just get to know Jesus. We misinterpret all kinds of people. The one I have to defend most, Elwanahu. You know, so many people just, you know, and I said, no, he's a nice man. You know, of course he's under psychiatric care right now, but he's fine. You know, and we'll poke fun at each other. He'll do Porigi jokes and I'll do Pake jokes. And people, if they don't know us, they'll come and say, hey, you guys must not like each other very much. You know, you're always talking down like that. And no, you have no idea. Our friendship is very strong. That's why we have the ability and the space to just poke fun at each other and not feel any remorse about it whatsoever. In fact, I like Pake people. You know when we bury them? You bury them 25 feet down instead of 6. You know why? Because down deep, Paques are really nice people. If you know the heart of people, it's like no big deal. But once you are skeptical about their heart, or if your heart is skeptical, you take care how you listen. See, everything goes weird. Sometimes people will come to me and say, you know how bad that was. And I know exactly about their heart. Because he says, take care how you listen. Because what you have on the inside will reflect about everything you hear. And so one of the things that's real important is the Lord is saying, get to know me, get to know my heart. And once you get to know the heart, then everything starts to fall into place and you become much more gracious, much more forgiving, because I know their heart. If you don't know their heart, watch how unforgiving you'll become. Grace goes and dries right up. But when you really know each other's heart, isn't that true? You just so much more grace, because there's a trust factor rather than a skeptical factor. There's a grace and compassion factor rather than a critical skeptical factor. That's why the Bible says when you read it, get to know the heart of God. And once you know the heart of God, everything starts to fall in place. And then you'll start to learn to become a good listener, because we're not misinterpreting things. You say, well, what's the first hint that we're starting to at least learn to become good listeners? Would you write in number 2? It's because you'll start to, here it is, live differently because of what you hear. You'll begin to live differently because of what you hear. Which means what God says, it starts to come out resulting in my life. It starts to work into the very fabric of who I am. And my personality, everything starts to slightly change little by little. In other words, God is changing us from glory to glory into his image. Oh, it may not be an overnight switch, but there's slight changes so that as the years go by, someone says, you know, I'm starting to see more of Jesus in that person. There's a greater wisdom. There's a greater maturity. There's a greater depth. There's a greater breadth of grace. He doesn't get offended by everybody. He's not as skeptical, critical. There's a change happening. And that's what God is saying. That's the first hint that I'm starting to learn to become a good listener, where I start to live differently because of what I hear and what God has been saying as I sit at his feet. Let's read what it says in James 1:22. Go. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, if I'm just hearing and not doing, then I'm starting to delude myself. Well, I know more than you. I know more than you. And I think you should. And I think you should. And what happens is we're hearing, but we're not applying anything. We're not changing. We're just telling others they should. And God is saying, you're going to delude yourself. The first hint that I'm learning to become a good listener is I'm starting to apply it to moi first. My life is starting to change. Well, some people say, but Wayne, I read the Bible and I don't understand half of what I read. Would you write in your first bullet there under number 2, then start with what you do understand. Start with what you do understand. You say, well, I read the Bible and I can only understand 10%. I don't understand 90. Great, start with the 10. Start with the 10% you do. You see, sometimes we think the deeper things of God is I got to know more and more. And I say, well, how much have you applied of the less and less? Well, I want deeper. Okay, how much of the shallow have you yet applied? Because you see, depth isn't knowing more. Depth is applying what you already know. Then once you are a steward of and you're accountable to what you've already received, then he can show you deeper things. But how many times I meet people who want the deeper things of God and they're falling all over themselves in this stuff up here that they should be doing that's obvious. But they want to have deeper stuff. No. If you talk to Jesus, you would see that he's very simple. He's very pure. He's not real deep. But he applies. He's someone that's very simple. In fact, 2 Corinthians says this in chapter 3. Paul is speaking and he says, I'm really concerned lest you be deceived by the enemy and he leads your minds astray from the purity and simplicity of devotion to Christ. You know what people are wanting today? I just want to walk simply with Jesus. Just really, that's what I want. To have a pure and simple devotion to Jesus. So are you applying what you already have? That's important. You know, there was once some Pharisees that came to Jesus, and after he had turned over the money changers' tables and drove out the people that were selling doves in the temple, the Pharisees came by and said, "Hey, who's giving you the authority to do these things?" Jesus said, "You really want to know?" "Yeah, we want to know." And he counter-questions them. "Okay," he said, "I'll ask you a question. And if you answer this question, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things." He said, "The ministry of John the Baptist, do you think that was something that God ordained, or was it just somebody that's had an off day, you know, of Halloween and loves to wear furs and leather and eat grasshoppers? What do you think? Is that from God or just some fictitious man-made thing?" Well, the Pharisees knew that this guy, John the Baptist, was from God. And the people held him in high esteem. So they huddled right away and said, what are we going to answer him? "Well, we can't say that we believe he's from God, because then Jesus is going to say, 'Well, if you know he's from God, then why didn't you obey?'" Ooh, we don't want to say that. "And we can't say that he's from man, because people are all around listening and they hold John in high esteem, and it'll be a political suicide for us to say that he's not from God." Ooh, we don't want that. "So what do we say?" "Let's just tell him we don't know." "Okay, that's good, that's good. All right. Hey, Jesus, we got your answer." "What's that?" "We don't know." And Jesus, "Yeah, it's really bright, really bright." "Then neither will I tell you by what authority I'll do these things." You see, what Jesus was saying is this. If you can't be accountable to the truths you already know, why should I reveal more truths to you that you don't yet know? Start by being accountable to the truths you do know. So would you fill that in? Fill that in. If I cannot be accountable to the truths I already know, why should he reveal to me truths that I don't yet know? And so God is saying, let me give you truths. Be accountable to those. And you know, when you do and you start applying, that's the first hint that you're becoming a good listener and that the Lord is beginning to speak to you and to give you direction and delineation between what's right and wrong. And that's when you catch wisdom instead of consequences. You'll get insight instead of making mistakes. And listening to God will save you so much time in 2004. Now, you're going to have a lot of distractions and a lot of responsibilities coming up. And you say, "Wayne, what do we do? How do you start to prioritize this next year? Because we can do so many things." I don't know of all the things that you need to do. I don't know what you need to figure out, what to prune, what not to prune. But let me get to the priority stuff. Here's one of the things you'll need to prioritize most of all. Would you write it number 3? Prioritize your time for listening. Prioritize your time for listening. That'll be awfully important. Listening to God. That was exampled in Mary in Luke chapter 10. And the story goes like this. Let's read it together. Go. Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations. And the Lord said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The same word that God is sharing with Martha, he shares with us. And he says, in this next year, there's going to be so many things, but really a few things only are necessary. Really only one. Would you circle that? Really only one. And then I want you to underline a word that describes Mary. For Mary has what? Chosen. Would you underline that word? Did you know that you've got to choose the most important part? Because if you don't, you'll be distracted into oblivion. And you'll do everything except that which is most important. And the word that God would have for our church is this. In this next year, there'll be a whole bunch of stuff to do. But really, there's only a few things that are necessary. Really only one. And Mary has chosen that. And it won't ever be taken away from her. In other words, Mary listening to the voice of the commander will give her everything that she needs to do, an assignment, what to prune, what not to prune, how to deal with problems, how to resolve them. He'll give her courage. He'll give her grace. He'll give her insight. He'll give her innovation, creativity, great depths of wisdom. All that will come because she's learning to be seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. In this new year, prioritize your time. That's why we have the Bible bookmarks. And outside, we have journals. And if you haven't started one, you'd like to know how to do it, we actually have one that's called a journal starter kit. And it will tell you how to start your journaling for this next year, to write down what God is saying so that you can be accountable to what you're hearing, the truths that he reveals. If you say, well, that's a lot to read, we actually have coming in the next few days a whole bunch of what we call first steps journals, where it's just a little less reading, but still in the same scale and schedule as we have in the bookmark, but just a less amount of reading, and the new bookmark is in there. And you can just tell them, hey, I'd like to be called when the new journal comes in, and you can give them your name, your number, or just check back next Sunday. Or for our children, we have a children's journal that we've taken 365 scriptures, with each one for each day, and that's the same schedule as this reading, and we've taken just one of those scriptures that we feel are one of the most important, and we put them in, and a child just reads one scripture and starts to journal so that they learn to hear or develop ears that listen. And so that's available out back. But as we prioritize our time before the Lord to listen, you'll be surprised how much time that'll save you. It's really only one thing is necessary, and that's it, but you got to choose it. And when you start listening to God, you'd be surprised at things you'll start to hear. Reminds me of a story of an elderly grandfather that came to the near end of his life, and he had gone deaf. Well, his family thought, well, he's going to be dying pretty soon. But thank goodness for modern technology, he went into this ear doctor, and they formulated a hearing aid so that he could hear things. Well, about 2 weeks later, he came back to the doctor, and he said, Doctor, I can hear. The doctor said, that's wonderful, the doctor said. Have you told your family? He said, no. I said, how come? He said, I just sit around now and listen to their conversation. I've already changed my will 3 times. You'd be surprised at what you'll hear when you start to listen. And you'd be surprised that when you start to choose to listen at the Lord's feet, hearing his word and applying it, watch what'll take place in 2004. You'll be surprised at things God will say. He'll give you direction, advice, creativity, and you will see that this next year can be one of the best years of your life. Prioritize your listening. He has much to say. We have much to hear. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Would you bow your heads as we conclude and ask God to seal to our hearts what he's spoken to us as we come out of the blocks into this next year? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a wonderful family where we're learning together, and we're even learning to listen together, because there's so much more that we need to hear. And the issue is not whether or not you're speaking. The issue is whether or not we're able to listen. And you said that much of the fruit of our life, the success of our life, will be determined by how we listen. So we must take care how we listen and prioritize our times to listen. So, Father, we pray that we'll become wiser in this next year. And we'll do that by sitting at your feet in a scheduled way so that we can hear your voice and direction. It'll save us tons of time. With your heads bowed, if you would be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but man, I tell you, I got a lot to work on in the area of listening. Because I have a tendency to just dash out and get things done. And then later on, I find that I spun my wheels or made decisions that I'm now cleaning up for.
I'm cleaning up because of some wrong decisions, misinterpreted some things. And sometimes I hear things that offend me when there was no offense given. I just need to learn how to take care how I listen. Lord, would you help me on that? And if that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Lord, would you help me to listen better in this next year? To listen with your heart rather than my own. Yeah. You can put your hands down. The Lord really wants to develop the ears of our hearts. But we have to realize that without God living in our hearts, that means we've not really given him permission to make the changes that need to be made. And God is a gentleman. He'll never force himself on anyone. He'll never force truth down your throat. But he'll wait for us to give him permission to say, Lord, would you come in, take over my life? And that's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're humbling, submitting yourself to his guidance, his lordship. And you're giving him permission to make whatever changes necessary so that we'll become the people he wants us to be. And all of heaven waits for us, for our reply to his invitation. That he says, if you will give me your heart, I will give you mine. If you give me your life, I will give you mine. If that's you and you've never made that decision, do that. It'll be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. It'll absolutely transform you. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say, if any man or woman be in Christ, he'll become a new creation. Old things will pass away. New things will come. And if you would be here and you'd say, you know, I want to make that decision because God knows I need forgiveness and I need a new beginning and I need his help. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. Lord, that's me. I want to say yes to you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, 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 okay. That's the best decision you'll ever make in your life, bar none. I'm going to ask us to pray this prayer together. And so would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand on either side of you, please? If you've prayed this prayer before, this is your 100th time, pray it again. But especially if this is your first time, pray with all your heart. And if this is indeed your first time, outside there's a connections tent or a yes table. Please go there and say, I said yes to Jesus today. They have a follow-up packet for you, free of charge. It has a Bible in it and some follow-up material. And they just want to give that to you to help you in your first few steps. So be sure to go and just say, I said yes to Jesus. Can I get a follow-up packet or a yes packet? And they'll give you one. But let's all conclude by praying this prayer out loud. Would you repeat this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Help me to develop ears that hear so that you'll be able to speak to my heart and I will change. I open my heart to your lordship. And whatever you need to do, I give you permission. So now I say this so I can hear. You can hear. These around can hear. And the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, we thank you for these, your children, as we learn to come out of the blocks with people who have ears that hear and eyes that see. Fill us afresh with your spirit as we listen to your voice, as you give us direction for the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you welcome these who made that decision for the first time to receive Christ? That's great. Well, and we'll all bow down. Even kings will surrender their crown. Failing love.
God bless you. Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out.